I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you're living almost 2,000 years ago in a town near Jerusalem. You've been hearing stories about a man who has been traveling the countryside doing unbelievable things. The stories tell of curing the sick and casting out demons. There's even a story where he fed a lot of people, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. Some think he's a magician. Others say he's a lot like Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the great prophets. Some say he's like John the Baptist, somebody that you actually saw and you enjoyed because he was calling out the king for his immoral acts. You decide you're going to go see this Jesus and find out what everyone is talking about. So you gather up your kids and your spouse, and you pack a few snacks. And if you're like my family, the snacks are usually gone within the first 15 minutes of the trip. Oh, and you have to walk, and it's not close. Now, there's a lot of people headed that way, and there's a lot of buzz about this Jesus. After an hour or so, you arrive with hundreds, maybe thousands of people. You find a spot on a hill, you sit down, and you wait. Somebody says, "There's Jesus, but he looks just like everybody else. Could that really be the one that everyone is talking about?" Someone says he just made a blind man see, but you're so far away, you can't really tell what's happening. And then you hear it. You hear his voice. And even though you aren't close, you can hear his words. And he's talking about love and caring for each other and how God has a home for us. And he tells stories that make your heart sing and your head think. And it all wraps up and Jesus goes in one direction and you go home. You don't really know just what happened, and you're not still really sure who Jesus is, but you like the way it made you feel, and you figure you'll go again the next time he gets close. And after Jesus died, people still wanted to hear the words he spoke. For the early Christians, the word was given to them orally and carried by the apostles, and then the disciples of the apostles, and then it was written down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But still, so few could read, they had to go to hear it. And they traveled miles just to hear the word and receive communion. During times of persecution, they met in secret. The apostles, early church fathers, and countless others throughout the generations lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. Now, today, we're spoiled. We don't have to travel far to hear it, and we can get in our cars. It's easy. We have the Bible on our smartphones. We have access to so many forms and types. We sometimes get complacent and nonchalant when we actually hear the word at church. It takes little or no effort to access the word. Our lives are not at risk to hear it. We should never let the extraordinary become ordinary. When the lector or deacon arrives in church, they hold the gospel high as a signal to us that Christ is present in his word, one of the many ways he is present to us in the Mass. We are told that when sacred scriptures are read in the church, God himself speaks to his people. We stand as the gospel is proclaimed. The church pays homage to Christ, who is present in his word, who proclaims his gospel. We know why people risk their lives and walk miles to hear it. My friends, this is extraordinary. People will often ask me, why do I say the gospel of the Lord the way that I do? It goes back to when I was first being trained as a lector, and I was told that you don't read the word, you proclaim it. And these are two very distinct words. You read bedtime stories. You proclaim things of importance. At my ordination, the Archbishop placed the book of Gospels in my hands and said, "Receive the gospel of Christ, whose herald you have become. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach." That was very powerful for me. I was ordained as a herald of the gospel. Now, what is a herald? A herald can be a sign of something important or something good about to happen. It can also be a person, an official charged with a royal proclamation, a royal messenger representing a king. So when I finish proclaiming the message from my king, the emphasis is that it is the gospel of the Lord, not the 6 o'clock news, talk radio, or a bedtime story. It's a message from the Christ, the Son of the living God. For those with ears to hear it, it should make your heart sing and your head think. But what comes next? The people say, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jesus the magician, or Jesus the prophet, or Jesus the next John the Baptist. We call him Lord and Christ in the house he founded with Peter 2,000 years ago. We call him Lord because he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he offers it to each of us. We call him the Christ, not because it's his last name, because it's a title. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one true Savior who came to us to save us, and in doing so died for us to give us the greatest gift we shall ever receive, our redemption and salvation. In the gospel, Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter, inspired by the Heavenly Father, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you have to ask yourself, who do you say that he is? If he's anything less than the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you're wasting your time. This isn't an issue you can be halfway on. You cannot be lukewarm. If he is Christ, the Son of the living God, then say it. No, proclaim it. Jump in with both feet and believe with all your heart and all your soul. And when we say that he is our Lord, then who are we? If he is our Lord, then we should be his servants. If he is the Son of God, then we should be his worshipers. If he is our Savior, then we should admit that we need to be saved. And it's time for us to allow him to lead us. Listen to his words. Let them sing in your heart and resound in your head. And when we do, when we surrender our will to his, you will find peace and your burden grows lighter. Now, the two most important responses you can make at Mass today come first after the gospel, when we hear the word of God and say, no, proclaim, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." And second, when we receive communion and the minister says the body of Christ, not the body of some guy or a prophet, but the body of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and you say, no, proclaim, "Amen," which means I believe. Do not be lukewarm. Let the extraordinary be extraordinary. Long after I'm gone from this amble, you will hear the words, the gospel of the Lord. And remember what that means. Remember how people would travel miles on foot to hear the word. People lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. He is our Lord. He is the Christ. Let us, this church, be extraordinary on how we answer when Jesus asks us, "Who do you say that I am?" Let your voices proclaim, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.